So I want to finish by taking us back to the world of the Buddha with a reading that I hope will suggest something of the way in which specificity, that attempt to really see the Buddha, can open out, both in the scriptures and in the way we relate to them, to a sense of the mystery that's there within the figure of the Buddha. It's morning. The sun is hot, but not yet overwhelming, and a man named Bahia scours the streets of Shravasti. His gaunt frame is covered by a rough tunic that's stitched together from pieces of tree bark, and he's weary after walking night and day from India's west coast. But he draws little attention from the townspeople, who recognise him as a holy man, a part of the tide of spiritual seekers that washes constantly through the city. Shravasti is the capital of the kingdom of Kosala, and a major metropolis, the culture that thrives in the central Ganges Valley. We have no detailed descriptions of its streets to fill out the scene, but the city's ruins have been partly unearthed, and they reveal it was a large town, guarded by huge ramparts, at the junction of three important trade routes. A slightly later text evokes a profusion of such a city. Furnished with solid foundations, with many gateways and walls, behold the drinking shops and taverns, the slaughterhouses and cooks' shops, the harlots and wantons, the garland weavers, the washermen, the astrologers, the cloth merchants, the gold workers and the jewellers. With such clues, we may imagine the scene that confronted Bahia. The wattle and daub houses, with domed roofs, tiles or thatch, the sturdier brick-built civic buildings and homes of the wealthy, the main streets clogged with mules, oxen, chariots and pedestrians, the elephants lumbering impassively along the roadway, laden with produce, the alleys spidering out from the main thoroughfare, thick with smells and resounding with cries of food sellers. As Bahia jostles through the press, he catches sight of a singular figure and knows instantly it's the man he seeks. The account of the meeting in the ancient Buddhist scriptures describes him as pleasing, lovely to see, with calmed senses and tranquil mind, possessing perfect poise and calm. He stands silently at a doorway, his eyes downcast, as the woman of the house places a little food in his bowl. Like other townspeople, he wears lengths of cloth draped around his midriff and across his shoulder to make a robe. But their mud-yed yellow fabric is much coarser than the embroidered muslin used by the rich, or even the plain cotton of the poor. It's a patchwork sewn together from scraps gathered on rubbish heaps or from the charred remnants of the shrouds that cover corpses in the cremation grounds. These robes, along with a bowl made from dried palm leaves that he holds before him, a needle, a thread, a girdle, a razor, and a water strainer, are the sum of his possessions. Most people call him Gotama, the name of the clan into which he was born in Shakya, Kosala's northeastern province. But his disciples address him by a host of titles, especially Bhagavat, meaning Blessed Lord, Tathagata, the one who is like that, and Buddha, the awakened. The encounter is intense and dramatic. Bahia throws himself at Gotama's feet and cries, "Please teach me. Teach me the truth that will be for my lasting benefit." Gotama spoke to no one when he was collecting food, so he tells Bahia, "Come to me later and I will answer your questions." But Bahia insists he cannot wait. "It's hard to know how long you or I will live." The third time of asking, Gotama turns to face Bahia and speaks a few spare words. "Bahia, you should train yourself thus. In the seen will be merely what is seen. In the heard will be merely what is heard. In the sensed will be merely what is sensed. In the cognized will be merely what is cognized. In this way you should train yourself. Then, Bahia, you are not in that. When you are not in that, then you will be neither here nor beyond, nor between the two. Just this is the end of suffering. Anyone gained enlightenment? Sudden moment of communion cocoons the man beyond time or place, and something happens to Bahia. Exactly what is hard to say, but its effect is shattering. It's bound up with the meaning of Gotama's words, but that meaning is mixed with the sense that Gotama himself embodies them completely and has inwardly expanded into the open spaces they disclose. A shift occurs deep in Bahia's consciousness, a silent opening. And then the moment's over. The street noises return, Bahia walks away, and Gotama quietly returns to his arms round.